retail clerk wasn't injured. Well, fewer of us hit the unemployment lines last month. The Labor Department's jobless rate for Westchester for August, that was 3.6%, about a tenth of a percent drop if you compare it from a year-to-year basis. They've cut the ribbon, officially opening the doors to a new school in Yonkers. The inauguration ceremony took place for the new Riverside High School, which actually opened to students for the first time back on September 6th. WFAS News Time 6:05, time for another road check, and Craig Shankman with WFAS Westchester Traffic.
Tap and Z fighting the sun as you make your way north, Jim. Heading to Rockland South is fine. Heading to Tarrytown. West on 287, delays continue through Harrison and White Plains. Your update is brought to you by the Norwalk International In-Water Boat Show. The Norwalk International In-Water Boat Show, going on now through September 23rd at Norwalk Cove Marina. For tickets and show details, visit boatshownorwalk.com. And for checking the forecast, we check back in with meteorologist Frank Lombardo.
Summer weather hangs in there right through the weekend. Looks like a very mild night coming up with a patch or two of fog, and lows dip to about 55. And although skies will stay mainly clear, the best chance of seeing some fog form right around daybreak tomorrow. Then hazy sunshine during the day and warm with a high near 80. At night, partly cloudy, milder than it's been, 60 to 65, and again, some areas of fog. And Saturday, sunny, unseasonably warm, well into the 80s for Saturday afternoon, near 80 on Sunday. Frank Lombardo in the WFAS Weather Center.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor, and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight we've got two very special guests. We've got Ruth Ahern and Terry Keene from the Hudson Valley Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you here. And boy, the timing couldn't be better. Terry, let's start with you. I know the chapter is having its annual memory walk on September 30th. Is that right?
That's correct.
So tell us about it.
Okay. Well, the memory walk is the association's largest fundraiser, and it's actually a national fundraiser. So we'll be holding the Westchester Walk on September 30th at the White Plains High School, and registration starts at 9 o'clock. And we are a seven-county chapter, so we actually have six other walks that will be going on between September and October in our other counties.
So the walks are on different days?
Different days, right. Different days, Saturdays and Sundays, starting September 29th and running through October 20th.
And nationwide, is this something that most chapters do?
Yes, most chapters will have or will be doing walks across the United States for raising the funds and awareness.
So just for people who may not be able to make it on the 30th, what are some of the other dates and where are the walks?
That'd be great. We have Orange County will be Saturday, September 29th, and Sullivan County is Sunday, September 30th. Sunday, October 7th, will be Rockland County, and Saturday, October 13th, is Dutchess. Sunday, October 14th, is Putnam County, and Saturday, October 20th, will be Ulster County.
And you mentioned that this is the largest fundraiser. Where does the money go?
Okay. The people, folks that would be joining us for the walk would be walking for new treatments, better lives, and a cure. And when you join the memory walk, you're actually raising funds that directly contribute to better Alzheimer's support programs and services for those affected by the disease.
So describe for me the day. You get there at 9:30 in the morning?
Yeah, registration is, depending on the walk site, registration is at 9 o'clock. You would register, turn in your funds, get your, food ticket, your free raffle ticket, your T-shirt if you raise over $100, and then the walk would kick off around 10 o'clock. And each walk is a little different, but basically it's a lot of fun. There's music, there's refreshments, there's activities, there's prizes, and it's just a great day. It's a family kind of a day, and it's a lot of camaraderie, and it's a day for raising awareness and raising the funds.
I got to ask you this.
No,
how far is the walk?
It's only 3 miles. It's a round trip, 3 miles, 5K.
So you go out a mile and a half, and then you
and
come
you go back.
Back
a mile and a half.
And
right.
If you can't walk that far,
then we have a sag wagon, or you can turn around anytime you like and go back to the start point.
And there's no stopwatch, right? We don't have to worry about speed.
No speed. It's a leisurely walk. People bring babies in strollers. They bring their dogs dressed in T-shirts, bandanas. It's a really a fun, leisurely event.
And then after the walk, what happens?
Well, when they come back to the site, there's refreshments, there's music, there's presentations for the top individual team, top fundraiser, both teams and individuals. There may be prizes that are provided, and there's just a good time to support everybody. At our walk in White Plains, we have a DJ who will have walkers talk about, why they're walking and if it's in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody.
So basically, it's just come on, come all. You don't have to pre-register?
You do not have to pre-register. You can come the day of the walk and register right there and, turn in your donation and just join the fun.
And if you have been raising money all along, I guess you can do it over the Internet?
Yes, you can log on. If you visit our website, which is at www.alz.org/Hudson Valley, and that's our website here in for the chapter, you'll see a little sign where it says to join the memory walk, and you can choose a walk and register right online.
Can you participate in more than one?
Sure, if you want to. Why not? I mean, there's no limit.
And it basically happens once a year.
Once a year, yeah. It's our biggest, as I say, it's the association's biggest fundraiser, it usually happens in the fall between the September and October time frame.
Okay, so let's just repeat for the White Plains one, the date and where people ought to go.
Okay, it's the White Plains High School on the Bryant Avenue entrance side, and registration is at 9 o'clock, and it's on Sunday, September 30th.
Okay, I can tell you from personal experience, I've walked and our firm has participated in the memory walk for many years, and it is very gratifying to do, and it's a lot of fun, and hopefully the weather will be just like today, guaranteeing it, right?
Oh, absolutely, but it is rain or shine.
Okay, we're going to hold you to that guarantee.
Okay, all right.
All right, Ruth, we're not going to forget about you. Terry mentioned we've got this wonderful fundraiser, the memory walk, to help caregivers and to help find a cure for Alzheimer's. Is Alzheimer's something we really need to be worried about? I mean, do a lot of people have it?
Well, there's probably 5.5 million Americans that have Alzheimer's disease right now. They think that's going to increase up to between 12 and 16 million by the year 2050. That's not so far away, and that's a lot of people. Right now, they say that every 72 seconds, someone in America develops Alzheimer's disease.
So basically, they're saying in a little over a generation, this is going to double or triple?
Right. And it's because of the bulge in the population. It's not because the disease has an increasing incidence or prevalence.
So it's going to go up in proportion to how crowded the world gets?
And to the age of the population. Because it's a disease of older people. It's very unusual for people to have Alzheimer's before the age of 65.
But not impossible.
Not impossible, but they ordinarily only 5% of people under the age of 65 would have it. And it can get up to perhaps nearly half of people in their 80s and 90s.
So the fact that people are living longer, I guess, due to changes in modern medicine and people taking better care of themselves and not dying of things like heart attacks and other acute illnesses means they're more susceptible to getting a chronic illness like Alzheimer's?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so this sounds like it's a freight train ready to crash if we don't do something about it. Can we do anything?
Well, it is a freight train because the cost of it is very high for families, and people can live 8 to 15 years or even longer with the disease. And as they get older and they advance in the disease, they become more incapacitated, they need a lot of help. So it costs money.
8 to 15 years.
So does that include, is that from diagnosis, or that's the time that...
That's from diagnosis sometimes. It's very hard to tell. I've known people who've lived over 20 years with Alzheimer's disease.
But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, everyone's getting older, and, you know, I sometimes forget where my car keys are, or if I meet someone 5 minutes later, I can't remember their name, and it's so frustrating. And I don't remember that ever happening to me 5 or 10 years ago. Does that mean I have beginning dementia or Alzheimer's?
Probably not. Most of the time when people know that they're and are aware of the fact that they're having some slight changes in their memory, then they don't have Alzheimer's disease. When the brain ages, it does change a little bit so that we become a little bit less able to remember details, but we're great on generalizations and on understanding the wider aspects of the problem. So what we've lost in detail, we've gained in wisdom.
So when you have it, is it already too late to know that you have it, or can you walk around and tell somebody, I have Alzheimer's, like you would say, I have a heart condition, or I have Parkinson's?
There are many people in the early stages of Alzheimer's who are aware of it and who are willing to talk about it. There are also many people who either are not willing or don't understand the fact that they have this diagnosis. So it does vary, but certainly there are many people who are perhaps willing to say, this is a problem and I want to talk about it because I want other people to know that, you know, it's not my fault.
So I guess that presumes that the physician and the family have told the person.
Yes, although they don't always. It depends on the individual. Some people react positively to it, and it's very possible for someone to say, okay, so I have Alzheimer's, so I've got a few years left that are going to be good years, and I'm going to make the most that I can and have the best time that I can and spend time with my loved ones and do things I want to do while I can.
Well, that's certainly a positive attitude, and it would be, I think, quite an accomplishment if people could actually approach not only just Alzheimer's but all types of illnesses with that attitude. I think that'll help in terms of not only dealing with it, but it's got to help medically speaking too, no?
It certainly helps families, and it certainly helps the people who are trying to plan for the future if you have a positive attitude. It's not always easy to do because just the fact knowing that your memory is declining and that you're sometimes not able to remember the day of the week and sometimes you don't recognize perhaps some of the places that you've been or people that you've talked to, that very often causes depression and anxiety so that it's hard to stay cheerful, but there are people who do a wonderful job of it. There are other people who really need to be treated for depression and anxiety along with the Alzheimer's to help them overcome the inevitable discouragement that they're facing with the problems that they're having with their life.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're speaking with Terry Keene and Ruth Ahern from the local chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, and we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Hello again, I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. And as of October 1st, I would like to also inform everyone that our law firm, Littman Crooks, will be opening an office in Fishkill, not too far from where your chapter offices are. Actually, I think they're up in Poughkeepsie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not too far away. Of course, that will complement our White Plains and New York City office. So we look forward to serving the population up by Route 84 in Fishkill. Okay, Ruth, back to you. So Alzheimer's disease. Is this something that you inherit from your parents? Is it something you get from not eating the proper food? What causes it?
You know, I don't think they really understand what causes it right now. There is a ton of research going on, and they're trying to understand it. They're understanding some of the biological mechanisms, but they still don't know what triggers it all. So there's still work to be done. To find a cure. And to find a cure is going to be very critical, because with the numbers of people that are going to have it over the next 40 years, the cost is going to be very high for families and for Medicare and Medicaid. Some people predict that it will bankrupt Medicare and Medicaid. So we do have some things to worry about.
So even if my parent or grandparent or other relative has never had it, and there's never been any dementia or short-term memory loss in my family, I still have to care about this.
Yes. The statistics of people getting late onset Alzheimer's, which means after 65 or 70, is still a little bit random. There's some familial connections there. And there are some clear risk factors. Do you want to talk about risk factors for a second?
Sure.
Because one of the things which we are learning is that exercise, a healthy diet, keeping your mind active, keeping emotionally stable, in other words, avoiding depression and getting treatment for depression if that's a problem for you, keeping involved with your community, keeping spiritually active, and all of these things seem to be a little bit protective against Alzheimer's. So what's good for your heart, it's good for your brain.
So is that a relatively new connection, that good cardiovascular health is actually good for your brain?
Yep, the same blood, the same problems are happening all over your body. So it certainly is something that they're learning. I am not saying that any particular diet or exercise regime or mental exercise is going to protect you completely, because there are genetic factors and they're still learning what causes all of that. And it's also true that you probably have things going on in your brain that are beginning to lay down the groundwork for the disease long before you have symptoms.
But it might be fair to say that somebody with high cholesterol, or somebody who smokes or has hardening of the arteries, might be more susceptible to Alzheimer's?
That's true. And there do seem to be some statistics that show that people who, certainly diabetes is a risk factor, coronary heart disease, breathing problems, all of these things can seem to be associated with a higher risk.
Talk to me a little bit about the mission and focus of the chapter. I know there's a National Alzheimer's Association, which I believe is based in Chicago. We've got this chapter in New York City, chapter on Long Island. How does this affect people here in Westchester?
Well, the mission of the local chapter, all the local chapters, is to help the caregivers, the people with dementia, and by the way, we do help people with all forms of dementia, not just Alzheimer's disease, and there are other kinds of dementia as well. Help with education programs, help professionals and family members learn to care more comfortably for people with the disease. If you can help a caregiver with education and support, sometimes they can care for a family member for a lot longer at home than they would have if they don't learn some of the little techniques that make life easier in living with an Alzheimer's person. So that's our goal.
So the chapter goal is to focus on providing support for the caregiver, not necessarily finding the cure?
That's right. The Department of the Institute of Health and is a is a big funder of Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association has a big research funding department. We have probably $645 million is what the federal government is putting into Alzheimer's disease now. They're putting $2.6 billion into HIV and $5.5 billion into cancer and $2 billion into heart disease. So one of the things that I think we all need to do is to be aware that that amount that they're giving to Alzheimer's disease is a little bit low compared to some of the other biggies. And so we try to encourage people to advocate with their legislators and see if they can't make them aware of the fact that, hey, this really is a problem and it's going to affect a lot of people.
So that's an education process.
Yes. Educating our lawmakers.
Yeah, because, heart disease has been around forever and some of the other good causes you mentioned, but I don't think people weren't diagnosed with Alzheimer's 100 years ago, were they?
They didn't identify Alzheimer's until about 100 years ago, that a German doctor named Dr. Alzheimer had a woman that he was treating who was in her 50s, and she was exhibiting all the symptoms that we now recognize as the dementia that's associated with Alzheimer's disease. And he was the first person to actually take a look at the brain on slides. They just learned the techniques of staining slides and looking at cells and so on. So he was looking at her brain cells, and he discovered the characteristic plaques and tangles, as we call them now. That was 100 years ago. So we've made some progress since then. We've learned a lot more, but we still have a ways to go.
Certainly more money would be good.
Absolutely.
But if people leave money to the Alzheimer's Association in their will or other bequest, that's not going to end up in the local chapter, is it?
We cost share with the National Alzheimer's Association, so that when a person gives to the local chapter, a percentage of it goes to research and a larger percentage stays in the local chapter for local programs. So that's how we try to even out the donations across the country. The Alzheimer's Association's, the chapters, certainly our chapter, does not exist with any sizable government grants. We have a few small grants, but almost all of our money comes from donations and from Terry's fantastic fundraising events that she's able to very successfully manage to have a great success every year with Memory Walk. And that's why we're so enthusiastic about it, because it really is a very important source of income for us.
All right, Terry, we're going to get back to you. I've got to take a short break. Right after the break, we'll talk more with Terry Keene and Ruth Ahern from the Alzheimer's Association.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman.
Call 914-684-2100.
I'm Bernie Crooks. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. And we're talking with Ruth Ahern and Terry Keene from the Alzheimer's Association, the Hudson Valley chapter. And Terry, you're in charge of the fundraising. How important is it for people to participate in this memory walk?
It's very important. Like Ruth had said, with the activities and the programs that go on in the chapter, and again, we are a seven-county chapter, we're looking for programs, education programs, advocacy programs, support groups, All of those types of things are supported by the funds that are raised through our events, and the Memory Walk being the largest one. So the funds are very important. It looks towards a cure or better treatment for the individuals who have the disease. We're looking at, 78 million baby boomers coming into that age bracket, where if we can't find a treatment or something to slow down the disease or the progression of the disease, you could be looking at an epidemic. That's a lot of people.
Terry, you're obviously passionate about this.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got involved.
Well, I've actually followed a person over from another organization, and when I was in my former career, I was a volunteer for the Alzheimer's. So I actually was a volunteer on the other side doing bagel cutting and so forth for breakfast for the Memory Walk. So I've actually been with the association for almost 18 years, both staff and volunteers. So yeah, I'm passionate about it.
So it's not a personal connection?
No. I worked for a short time in a nursing home, so I saw firsthand the families, the patients. And it's a passion.
Yeah, our law firm, of course, specializes in the elder care. So we see hundreds, thousands of clients every year, and we're primarily meeting with the caregivers, unless it's an early stage case. And the strain and stress on the caregivers seems to be enormous. And the two of you have both repeatedly mentioned that. Ruth, what's it like to be a caregiver?
Well, if you can imagine that the person that you've loved could be a parent, could be your spouse, could be a brother or sister, is no longer able to do the things that they used to do. They may not be able to prepare a meal anymore. They may not be able to, may have been a CPA and can't balance a checkbook anymore. Simple things disappear, and this is sad to watch. Plus, you're losing a good friend. You're losing somebody who used to be able to be your companion. Maybe your parent was your advisor, and maybe your spouse was your person that you discussed things with when you walk in the door in the evening, and now they can't do that anymore. Plus, now you have to start taking care of them. Plus, now you have to start doing all the things they used to do in addition to all the things that you have to do. Plus, you may have a lot of family distress and confusion about how to handle the problem. So it is not an easy scene. And very often you'll have a person who's asking repetitive questions or whose behavior is becoming difficult. And the strain is intense.
Do you find that in a lot of cases the caregiver is the spouse or the children?
Both. Both. Usually, families care for people with Alzheimer's disease. 70% of people with Alzheimer's disease are cared for at home right till the day they die.
Informally caregiven.
That's right.
So that's not necessarily even entering into your statistics in terms of the cost if people are just doing it informally.
Well, they may be getting help, but they are caring for them at home, and most people are going to need help eventually. They are going to need somebody because caregiving can turn into a 24-hour ordeal. And people have to get some sleep, so they need help, and sometimes there isn't anybody else. So you do have to pay a caregiver to come and help.
I mean, I could see how this would affect people in their jobs and in their social lives and just their whole being.
Couples and caregivers become very isolated. So they lose their social contacts, they lose their sense of community. Sometimes they can't go to church anymore because they can't leave the person behind, they can't go to movies, they can't go out to dinner. It's a very, very, very stressful disease, and it can go on for so, so long.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to wrap up.
Every parent worries about their kids.
Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Lippman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Lippman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Bernie Crooks back with Ruth Ahern and Terry Keene. Boy, there's so much to talk about. And I know, Terry, you've been on the show before. We'll have to have you guys back again. But final thoughts, Terry?
I would just like to extend an invitation to everybody out there listening to come and join the Memory Walk and be a part of that advocacy that we're trying to get out there, the education and the awareness and reaching for that cure and that treatment progression that we're trying to get. And just come out and have a good time and log on to our website, www.alz.org/Hudson Valley, all one word, and join one of the walks. Come out and have fun.
I can assure you from personal experience that it's an energizing, uplifting experience. It's very positive. And you'll feel good about it. And plus, the New York football team stink anyway, right?
Yeah, right. You don't want to be home. It's a Sunday morning anyway.
Okay.
So.
And Ruth?
Well, I'd like to encourage people who are experiencing Alzheimer's in their family to call the Alzheimer's Association and ask for help. There's a toll-free number. It's a 24-hour helpline. I'm going to say it twice, 800-272-3900. And I'll say it one more time, 800-272-3900. And that way you can get information. We can give you some referrals if you need help. We can help you find the help that you need to survive taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's.
Now, we just got a few seconds left, Ruth. It just so happens that tomorrow is World Alzheimer's Day. Tell us about that.
It's a day when all around the world people are going to commemorate and remember Alzheimer's. We actually have somebody who's climbing a mountain and hopefully is going to call us from the top of a mountain in South America and let us know that they're climbing mountains for Alzheimer's.
Well, there's certainly a lot to be learned here. We learned a lot tonight, but there's so much more to do. And hopefully people like yourselves fighting the fight will beat this thing one day. Ruth, Terry, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday at 6:05.
sounds the whole family can enjoy. Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
You look inside my fantasies and made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again. Before the good is gone, I know I'll never love this way again. Hold on, hold on, hold on. A fool will lose tomorrow, reaching back for yesterday. I won't turn my head in sorrow if you should go away. I'll stand here and remember just how good it's been. And I know I'll never love this way again.
AM 1230 WFAS.
One day you'll look to see a gun, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Someday you'll know I was the one, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. And though I lose a friend, in the end you will know. Oh, one day you'll find that I have gone, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. If tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. And though I lose a friend, in the end you will know. Oh, one day you'll find that I have gone,
but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the
AM 1230 WFAS, Westchester's Soft Favorites. I'm Bob Barnum. Good evening. It is 6:44. We're going to test the emergency alert system in just a bit, so let's get to traffic right now at 6:44. WFAS, Westchester traffic. Craig, what's going on?
All right, Bob, 287 westbound delays continue heading through Harrison and White Plains. Not bad at the Tappan Zee. Some sun glare heading north, but no backups. A good ride also heading south. No troubles on 95. The Hutch northbound is slow up by the Cross County Parkway. Cross County looks good by North Columbus Avenue. And not bad at the Sawmill. No troubles north and south. Your update is brought to you by Good Wrench. Driving a GMC? Then have it cared for by a GMC specialist. It's time for Good Wrench and Go, only at your GMC Good Wrench dealer. That's Craig Schenkman on Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230, WFAS.
The WFAS Weather Center says partly cloudy, mild tonight, some patchy fog, low to 55, tomorrow hazy sunshine, warm high close to 80, and partly cloudy tomorrow night, milder areas of fog, low down to 60. Right now it is 70 at Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230, WFAS.
The emergency alert system. This is only a test.
WFAS, keeping you in touch with Westchester County. This is the WFAS Journal News Westchester Community Calendar. It's the last weekend to catch the New York Renaissance Fair at Sterling Forest in Tuxedo. Step back in time with great theater, jousting, food, and fun. And this weekend, Little Shop of Horrors plays at the Westchester Broadway Theater. Don't forget there's a Native American powwow at FDR State Park in Yorktown with dancing, jewelry, singing, crafts, food, and a whole lot more. And Sunday from 10 to 2, it's Venus on the Hudson, a beauty festival and fashion show for women at the Spa at Monteverde at Old Stone Manor in Cortland Manor. Check it out at MonteverdeRestaurant.com. For more fun things to do, look in the Journal News every day. Check out the line on Fridays or go to LoHud.com 24/7. That's today's Journal News, Westchester Community Calendar from WFAS.
Perfect company at home, work, or driving around town. Westchester's soft favorite. Laid a hand on you, my Georgia. rely on us for great music and friendly personalities. Westchester's soft favorite, AM 1230 WFAS.
Got out of town on a boat from the Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside, and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading lies the Marquesas. You got 80 feet of a waterline,
nicely making way
in a noisy bar in Avalon. I tried to call you, but on a midnight watch I realized
why twice you ran away.
Think about
how many times I've had fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. Was heaven brought you and me? Can I be forgotten?
AM 1230 WFAS.
Like a
got somewhere else to go. But I got something to tell you that I never thought I would. But I believe you really ought to know.
Westchester's Soft Favorites,
AM 1230 WFAS, White Plains, Westchester. A Cumulus station. It's 7 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. War critics trying again and failing again to cut off funding for combat in Iraq. The vote more than 2-1 against the measure today in the Senate. A liberal group's recent ad criticizing the top U.S. commander in Iraq, hitting a raw nerve in Washington.
And I felt like the ad was an attack not only on General Petraeus, but on the U.S. military.
President Bush calling the ad disgusting, and the U.S. Senate officially denouncing it.
The resolution's author, Texas Republican John Cornyn, urged senators to repudiate
this character assassination against a great American patriot.
The full-page ad by Move On accused General Petraeus of betraying America. California Democrat Barbara Boxer argues the Republicans are more interested in scoring political points than protecting a general's honor.
Since when are we the ad police who go after organizations by name?
Move On makes no apologies and vows to run more ads, this time against Republicans.
Fox Radio's Mike Makowitz. One investigation, not enough. After the accidental arming of a B-52 bomber with nuclear warheads last month, Defense Secretary Gates asking for an outside inquiry, the Air Force already conducting its own investigation. After drenching the Sunshine State, a storm system in the Gulf of Mexico is still trying to get organized. It could become Tropical Storm Jerry and make a Louisiana landfall this weekend.
More of a track, let's say south of Louisiana, would give it more time to develop. And it's that southern track that we're worried about, because if that happens, we do think that this would probably become a hurricane.
Meteorologist Bernie Rayo, oil companies clearing hundreds of employees.